Rarely am I lost for words when meeting someone or sitting down for an interview. But that moment came when I met Christine Kavanagh. Christine is a mother from Cork who has lived through the unimaginable. The loss of four sons, three of them to drugs. Two of those sons, Dylan and Damien, died just 15 days apart earlier this year. They were buried side by side in a double funeral. One open coffin, one closed. Christine's pain, she says, is like carrying the grief of four families. And yet, she hasn't given up on life. In fact, she's doing the opposite. Christine is now using her voice to campaign for change, calling for more addiction services, mental health supports, and supervised injection centres in Ireland. She told me her sons might still be alive today if such services had existed in Cork. Even just 3 days after her son's funeral, Christine was back at work. I still can't quite comprehend the strength of this woman or how she's managed to keep going. But this conversation will stay with me forever. She is, without doubt, one of the strongest women I have ever met. This episode of The Comeback is proudly sponsored by Old Mill Confectionery. A special mention to them because they cater for Christine's son's funeral, going above and beyond at one of the hardest times in her life. Christine spoke so warmly about their kindness when we went for coffee just before this interview, a gesture she'll never forget. You can find them on Instagram at Old Mill Confectionery. This is The Comeback with Christine Kavanagh. Welcome back to The Comeback with Brenda Dennehy. If you're an avid listener, you'll always know that I introduce the guest and I ask them to give me a bit of background about themselves, but it's a bit different today. I'm here with the wonderful Christine Kavanagh and we're here to chat about her own story, in particular as well, her four sons who have passed away. We'll get to more of that soon. But Christine, I just want to ask you, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm not very good, Brenda. I just get up every morning. This pain will never leave me. It's just that I have to go through it 7 days a week. So I try to be as good as I could.
Thank you for coming today. And I know when I was asking you to come on the podcast, because I've had spoken to you before in the past when I was working on Neil's show.
You have, Brenda.
Yeah. And I remember asking you on and you were I need to work and I'll come on before I go to work. And in my head straight away, I was like, how is that woman still functioning? How is she still able to go to work after the loss of four sons and two sons actually in January? So I'm in awe of you, how you actually keep going.
Brenda, the way it is, as I said, I'm a very, very strong woman and I'm still doing it. Because I have five other children and I have 21 grandchildren. So I have to be there for my other kids and my grandchildren and my own family. They're so good to me, you know, friends and family. And what I went through, I'll always thank people who came to my house and looked after me and looked after the boys when the two boys had addiction very bad.
Tell me a bit about the boys.
Ross passed away 9 years ago. From a seizure. He was just diagnosed 3 weeks with epilepsy and was out up by the orthopaedic and collapsed. He was found in, I don't know how long, in a few minutes, but there was no oxygen going to the brain. So the guards came to my house and said, you need to come to the Mercy Hospital. So I said, 1 minute, I'll get his medication and I'll bring it with me. So they said, no, you have to come straight away. So they brought me to the Mercy in the squad car, and Ross was just, he was just gone. But they said that probably till about 10 o'clock, if, you know, nothing was going to happen, but he will pass away. And he passed away 10 to 10 that night.
What age was he?
He was just 31. And he was just, as I said, diagnosed with epilepsy. So the medication, God loves, mustn't have done very well for him. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't change it. It was just his first lot of medication.
That was in 2016?
Yeah. It was the 5th of December. Leon then was 4 years later. Leon had an addiction, God love us, that he couldn't help. He went into treatments. he just couldn't do it. You know, he lived on the streets for about 8 years with the help of my family, friends, everybody. He just could not do it. So he was up Partick's Hill one evening and he was walking down. He walked down onto Corbrick Street, went down by the funeral home, collapsed onto the ground. It was the guy in the funeral home ran out, found him. He had heroin on him, spoons, needles. So they brought him to the Mercy and the guard came up and knocked to my door. It was on a Friday night. I'll never forget it. The guard knocked the door and he said, could you come to the Mercy? I said, no, I can't. Why? What's wrong? He said, your son, Leon. So I just closed the front door in the guard's face. I said, thank you. I'll ring my daughter. So I contacted Simone. I said, Simone, will you please go to the Mercy? Leon is not very well. So Simone got over there and she rang me. She said, Mom, you need to come. So when I went over, they wouldn't allow me to see him. They were bringing him up to the ICU. So they brought me up on my own and he was left a vegetable in the bed. So what they said is, look, it was COVID times. You can come up again in the morning. But if they weaken him till Monday night, you know, we'll be happy. So I said, why are you keeping him till Monday night? They said that they have to do it by law. Something in the back of their head. So Simone went over on the Saturday morning with her dad and they just said, look, there's no change. He's just going to deteriorate it. We all went home on the Sunday night and they contacted Simone because she's only living around the corner for the Mercy. And the Simone, you need to come. So she said, look, I'll contact my mum. So my partner, Liam, brought me over with Chloe and Kaylee. And we just got into the lift and Simone said, Mom, where are you? I said, look, we're just in the lift coming up. And she said, he's just gone. So thank God Simone was there because the nurse kept saying, tell him go. Like he was fighting for stay alive, but he was dead in the bed. As you know, as I hope you can understand what I'm saying. So whatever was keeping him going, she just said, Leon, just go. And he just went. I think it was about 10 to 5 in the morning that he passed away. So Leon have two beautiful children, you know, and Ross had two beautiful sons as well.
And what are their names?
Ross's two is Kyle and Jordan, and Leon's children is Jamie and Lexi.
And did one of them get their confirmation communion?
Yeah. Lexi made her confirmation on the 20th of May.
How's she doing?
She's very good and their mum Susan is lovely, you know. And she's happy now. She's with some other guy. He's lovely. And she had two other children. So they never stop the kids. They always bring them up to me, you know, parties. I love them for that.
I remember how I was first introduced to you. I don't know how it came about, but there was something in relation to, I think, were you going down Patrick Street and you saw Leon?
Yeah.
And he didn't recognise you?
No, he never did. Some days, God love us, I'd avoid him, if you know, because he'd shout and roar. But the heavier he got in the drugs, that time the drugs are not as bad as what they are now. He'd kind of look over and he wouldn't even recognise me. I said, one day, Leon, this sandwich there, I'd never give money. And he'd drink his head. My mum's in Lanzarote. So, you know, God loves. But my Simone was very good. All my family, as I said, friends. This guy came from Dublin. He delivered in Duns and he met Simone at the funeral. And I think he emailed her as well or text whatever. And he said he'd come down to Duns to deliver stuff on the mornings. And he'd go over and he'd give him what he have. A beautiful guy. Leon looked after everybody. If you said to Leon, Leon, I'll give you a few pounds, he'd say, only give me change, don't give me notes. You know, he'd never take notes off anybody.
And I mentioned to you that I had known Leon as well. And I don't think you realise that what a beautiful guy. I was letting you know how my interpretation of him and my experience with him was. He was such a beautiful person.
he was lovely. He just couldn't do it, Brenda. I feel at the time like there's not enough of help there for him to get into treatment. Like, long ago it might have been different. You can go in dirty, but now you have to go in clean. Why in the name of God would they want to go in, you know, if they're clean? As I said, all these addiction centres, if they just change their policy, open an injection centre, they, you know, they'd have clean needles, supervised. Like, if they overdosed, at least there's someone there to protect them.
That's one of the main reasons I wanted to get you on today, so to speak, about the boys, but also you're very prominent now in calling for an injection centre in Cork.
Correct, correct.
And you've been doing some work on that as well, haven't you?
Yeah, and I have to try heal before I can grieve for my boys, because as I said, I wouldn't like to see another family going through the pain that I have to carry. Their dad, sisters, brothers, every day. Like, I had 9 children, now I've only 5. You know, I'm being honest, I'm here for the love of my other children. I have grandchildren that haven't even the fathers. I'm not saying anything like about Damien. Damien died in Wales. We don't know what he died from, you know. And we're waiting. We're waiting on that inquest. But Damien had an addiction and he went away to Wales 6 years ago. He'd done very well for himself, got a place. His eldest son, Dion, went over for about 2 months and looked after, you know, he looked after Dion. And Dion was so happy, spent them 2 months with his dad. He'd ring him, text him. And Kelvin's only 14. Kelvin didn't go over. And then God help us, like, he always said, "Mom, I will come home someday." You know, he did come home all right now for Leon's funeral. And he came home then after that with a guy for a week. But Damien was doing so well for himself. But Damien have epilepsy as well. So I'm not indulging anything, you know.
Yeah.
What happened to Damien? But when it comes to it, we will deal with it, you know.
And then, was it 14 days?
14 days
later.
Dylan passed away. As everyone knew, Dylan had an addiction. I bought Dylan home on the 11th of May. I had Dylan home till September. Doing very well. People calling. A hairdresser came, cut his hair. My sister-in-law's called. Everybody done everything for Dylan. He stayed at home for 11 days around Christmas and he was so good. And then he started going out, collecting his dole, and I could see him slipping. And I was saying, no, it's probably me, you know.
What were some of the signs you could see the slipping? Was it his behaviour?
Yeah. And then I said, Dylan, you went out this morning at 9 o'clock on a Monday. I know it's 11 o'clock at night. Where were you? Woman, don't be judging me. I said, I never judge anybody. I said, where were you? I was with my friends. Then I'd hear he'd be up by bus shelters drinking and stuff. And then God help us, like, he went to one meeting. I remember Jade came up and brought him to a meeting, a friend of ours, a very good girl. And then he, like, I knew myself. He was slipping back into it, you know. And then when Damien passed away, Sonia, Dion's mum, got him up in a cab and weed him home for about 2 or 3 nights. I bought the clothes for the funeral. I said, once Damien's body come home, I'll have all the black clothes. Did I know that we'd be burying the 2 of them together? And Dylan then, I had to get the guards one night. I had to get him out of the house. And he did go out of the house the next morning. And God help us, that was the last I saw of him. Till I saw him in his coffin. He just couldn't, like, as I said, there's not enough help there. Like, they should be able to go into treatment centres dirty. There should be a centre there for him to go in by day, not go in at night at 11 o'clock and have to get up the next morning and go out at 7. 5 minutes of their time just to listen to him, you know. But I do believe in a treatment centre.
Yeah.
I do believe in it, you know.
And then we'll say, I wanted to chat to you as well about, obviously, you're their mother. family members listening, they just want their family members to stop.
Yeah. I'd say to Dylan, I said to Damien and Leon, would ye ever stop taking drugs? I'm sick of ye. And they'd say to me, Mom, would you ever stay out of town because you're a shopaholic? And I said, but I can't do that. I love going in shopping. I love my style. I love going in around shops. And I would say, would you think they'd just stop it? No, I know they couldn't stop it. You know, God loved them. They couldn't, like. And I always said when my kids are out in the street, please, God, keep them safe. You know, but it's the drugs now I'm more worried about because they're stronger than the drugs long ago. Like it was hash. Like it was her and Leon died from, you know. I don't know what Dylan died from, but Dylan died in homeless shelter, you know.
What kind of advice would you give to parents and their children might be addicted? What should you say to them who are feeling hopeless?
Well, I was like other parents, I suppose. I never left them take drugs in front of me. They probably were in their rooms. I didn't see because I found Leon one day with all needles hanging over his arm. I literally pulled him out of what I was doing. I threw him out the door. But like, just to listen to me, I'm one voice. If I could save another family from going through this, just try speak to them. I know there's not enough help out there for them, but if anyone wants to contact me, I'm not on Facebook or anything, but they can get in contact with my daughters. It's just that I was listening to them, but then I didn't want to listen to them because they were lying out of their feet, their toes, they were robbing me. I have nothing. I haven't a ring, I haven't a chain, money gone missing out. And I used to be saying, and I spent that €50, I spent that €10. But like, I never blame my children for being addicts. They didn't get up some morning and say, I'm going to be an addict. They were sick. They were sick. So if I could take this pain away from my family, like I taught, we reared our children very hard. Their dad and myself. My children looked after each other. But as I said, there's not much help out there for them. Hopefully that these centres might change and just say, look, we'll take them in dirty, dirty urine samples. But it's the drugs now I'm worried more about.
And when you're saying dirty for people listening, that just means, see, when you want to go in now, it's like you need a clean urine. You have to be off the heroin so long.
You do. You have to be 6 weeks.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, even in those 6 weeks, imagine the amount of people who probably passed away in those 6 weeks. Yeah. They just can't wait. Yeah. And even getting clean from heroin alone, I know you might have an aid with methadone. It's very, very hard to do it on your own, but only support.
And trying to get on the methadone program.
Yeah.
There's a wait list. I rang Arbor House one day about Dylan and the guy said, look, he have to ring himself. I said, yeah, he's inside my sitting room like an old man. I said, in 90, he couldn't get up off the chair. He was so sore. But God love us. Like I rang my GP, fantastic GP, Dr. O'Monaghan in the Medic Group. I said, look, I haven't got the money. He said, bring him down. I went down with Dylan. He gave him tablets, 7 tablets. That's all my GP will give him. I was giving him one every morning. Then I said, Dylan, I think I stop you taking the tablet. Now, this was the third one. I was bringing in the glass of water. He was saying, Mom, I take tablets over packing in my hand. I was giving him the glass of water. And then, God help us, he stopped taking them. He was flying home. People, as I said, my friends were calling. I couldn't thank him enough. And then, like, he just slipped back into it.
And you know, when they'd slip back into it, when they were doing so well, what was that feeling like for you?
I'm telling you, at that time, I literally lost weight. I wasn't sleeping. I felt I was the addict. I gave him a tablet one day and I put the other one into my own mouth. I was living on my nerves, being quite honest. He says to me one day, I'm going up to the orthopaedic for a walk. I literally was timing him. I was looking out through the blinds in the sitting room. And he came in, he said, see, no, law, you don't even trust me. I said, I can't trust you.
Yeah.
I couldn't trust him. Kaylee, my friend, Kaylee literally bore him down to collect his money on the first Monday. The second Monday, he went up to Glen for, it was like an appointment. And then after that, he gave up. He couldn't do it.
Yeah. And you know there when you were saying that, like, you can't trust your children as well, and you were very open about the fact that they took money from you and took jewellery. For you, what was that like?
Oh, it was shocking. I literally, do you know what I had to do in the end? I literally had to keep my money in my bank card. I know that had to feed our habits.
Yeah.
But like, my handbag used to be in my bedroom. And I swear to God, that time I probably used to sleep. They probably used to come in, pull the handbag out of the bedroom. It might have been only 10 euro, 50 euro, but I'd say, no. I used to be blaming myself for spending it. Not leaving them get away with it.
Did you know you didn't spend it though? Were you trying to kind of trick your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't want to believe it because of the hurt.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, it's some hurt. And as I said, does not, it's the family. What we went through, sisters and brothers. My Simone used to have to get out of her bed, and Bernard is a witness to that, and go out and look for Leon and find him. She, God love her, like, you know, she's go around the streets, and what way we'd find him. Like, I live up in Grown, and she said, "Mam, don't you bother now going." But as I said, I often had to pass him because he might shout and roar at me, and God love us, he was sick.
Yeah.
As I said, don't get me wrong, when a person of cancer, they can put a box in them, we're in addiction, nothing can go on them, only a bit of help.
Yeah.
And I'd love a centre to open, an injection centre that they're safe, a nurse, a doctor, just to be safe, injected, they can, you know, their needles are clean.
Yeah.
I often said to Leon, would you use someone else's needle now? He said, of course I used. You're not nice, saying, oh God. You see, when we were younger, I never remember drugs. There was 11 of us in a family. If we thought we'd been at 9, we'd been at 8. It's different. But as I said, no, it's harder with the drugs going and what's out there.
And then would you, even walking down the streets now around Cork, would you even see it's getting worse from the days that Leon was walking down the streets?
100%. I was Partick Street. I went in for credit. And there was a poor young fellow on the floor. He was on the floor, his head was up. So I said to the security man inside the door, I said, I'm worried about that guy outside there. Look, I had no jacket. If I had a jacket, I'd put it on. He said, have you anything to give him? He said, just rang the guards there. Lovely guy now. So I said, look, I'm going to get a bottle of Luke's. So I went out and I was trying to wake him. I woke him up a bit. I said, look, please sit up, love. I've a bottle of Lucozade, sugar in it. So he said, I need help. I didn't know whether he meant help to get up off the floor. And I bent down. I said, look, I had children. I said, an addiction. I don't know whether it was drink or drugs, the poor child. Beautiful looking young, spotlessly clean. I said, he's someone's son to myself. So the security came out and he said, the guards are coming there. So I said, do you know if he was over under a door during the night, would you ring the guards for him? So he said, no, but he's there a while. Like I said, that's okay. But the guards got out of the paddy wagon, I have to say, they were lovely.
Yeah.
They bent down, they were speaking to him. So I said, look, just walk away. I was too upset, but I was worried in case he'd bang, he said.
And you know, when you come across that, is it like flashbacks?
Yeah.
To everything you've gone through?
But, you know, don't get me wrong, I feel now I would do more for people on the streets because I know what people done for my children.
Yeah.
You know, even those soup runs, I have to thank each and every one of them, all the soup runs at night time, because they're so good to people who's hungry, because I know Katrina Toomey's fantastic. She's there by day. When Katrina's closed up, these soup runs then kicks in, and fair juice to them. They're spending hours, you know, looking after them and stuff. But this should be a lot more done, being honest.
Through your hardship, you're now an advocate, wanting more to be done.
Yeah.
And you even appeared on with Katie Hannon.
I did, yeah.
What was that like, being on such a large platform?
You know, I went up and I just speak my mind. As I said, if I could take this pain away, from another family, mm-hmm. mother, father, sister, brothers, anybody. And I feel I'm getting somewhere. But as I said, I am not going to stop till I get somewhere, you know. Hopefully, a centre will open, an injection centre. There's badly one wanted. And aftercare, I know someone who's doing aftercare and they have to pay for aftercare. I think aftercare, don't get me wrong, should be free and should run for about 2 or 3 years. They should be able to call, you know, there should be a centre open by day, as I said. Even go in and talk, like 5 minutes could change someone's life. Said, I need help.
3 powerful words. I need help.
Yeah, I need help.
And would you be of the belief that all the boys, that they didn't want to be the way they were?
No, they were sick. They didn't want, like my children were fully educated. And I have to say for Dylan writes poems. Mm-hmm. He was just, but they were sick. I'd never say, like they could have done better things with their lives. They couldn't because they were sick. As I said, like Dylan was so educated. God love us. You don't have to be smart to be educated. Mm-hmm. But he was with the poems. And I said one day we were home on it. I said, Dylan, you'd make thousands, mm-hmm. thousands of money. And he said, Mom, I don't need thousands of money. But I said, I need you to try get clean. Like, I had Dylan when Damien passed away and I said, like, you're my eldest boy now. I need you to help me with Damien when he come home, his body. Little did I know that I was burying the two of them together. So we'd want an open coffin and we'd want a closed coffin. You know, and we buried the two of them. And the one day we had to buy a separate grave. The boys are toes to toes. But like, I thought I could depend on Dylan. God, I couldn't because he was sick. Little did I know that he'd gone to 14 days. And that's all Damon kept saying in Wales. Mom, I think I'll go over and get Dylan. Send him over to me. I said, Damon, I can't. Because if anything happened, I'm over. I won't be able to get him back. Little did we know that poor Damien was coming back, you know. Because Dylan was in Wales for 2 years. Because mm-hmm. his stepsister, Aisling, was living there. And then he kind of got a bit sicky and he came back. So I don't know, was he using over? Yeah.
And you know, when you had to Damien and Dylan together and having the funeral of both of them, was that just, did you think you were in some sort of a nightmare and it wasn't real life?
I actually thought it was real because we were waiting for 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks nearly for Damien's body to come back. And I had to be so strong. For my other children, I have a stepson, Dean, and he was fantastic. When we had Dylan home, he'd come over every weekend. He'd come over one day and he said, Dylan, he was sitting on the couch, look at your mother there. I will help you if you help yourself. And they took him every weekend on a Saturday night. They left him sleep. And then he started slipping, you know. And then he was saying, no, I'm not going over all, Dean. But people were so good. Everybody was helping me with him. And that break alone on the Saturday night that I was getting when Dean and his partner Sinead was taking him over was fantastic. But they could even see him slipping with his attitude, you know. And Dean said, well, I'm not taking this from you, you know.
He knew.
Yeah. But I knew it was reality, like that I was burying two of them. But it was so sad. Like my grandchildren, Dion and Kelvin, their dad's coffin was closed because Damien was so deteriorated. So what we done, we got a bit of Damien's haircut for the two boys. We couldn't see him. Like, I never saw Damien. Only Christmas, I think it was 22nd of December, he FaceTimed my daughter, Ilana, she's 19. And he was slagging. I was going into the homeless runs. I was after getting them loads of stuff for Christmas because they're so good to the boys, you know, into Jade and the whole lot of them. And he said, Mom, what are you doing with the Green Runners? He was slagging. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to go off to you now sometime, boy. Little did I know that was the last words I had with him. You know, it was just, it's like, it's real. But people be saying to me, how are you doing it? I said, for the love of my other kids, you know, I have 5 children. I have a stepson, Dean, and I have a stepdaughter, Ashlyn, and my grandchildren. And when I look at my grandkids, like Dylan or Dion comes down to me, and he's only living 3 doors up, and he's so good. And he'd be always saying, "Nan, do you know you can do more?" And he's going to look after Dylan in the town, pay for his hair, get him food. And then he'd send down the food to Simone. Look, Dylan now's art eating his food. He was so good to him, you know.
And like that, you were saying, people are saying, how are you still going? Do you ever wake up in the morning, Christine, and be like, why me?
I do. I always say, why me? And then I said one day, they knew I could carry this because I'm so strong. I, you know, I'd be always saying, I won't be strong forever. I'm 66 soon. And I'd be saying, how can I do it? But I keep doing it, you know, as I said, for the love of my other children and my grandkids.
And when you wake up in the morning, what's that feeling like? Is it like...
Oh, it's hard. It's a pain. It's a pain that we, like his dad and me, will never leave sisters and brothers and their children, you know. And Dylan had, he never had family. He met a girl and she had a little child late then, and he lived alone for the child and they split up. And Fair Juice, where she turned up to the funeral, with a beautiful reed with him on it and Leighton, you know. And he just loved, he rang her the week before to meet up with her.
That shows the character. He cheated that.
Yeah, God love us, you know. But as I said, if I could save one from this pain, I'd love to save thousands, but I hope I will, because I know my voice is getting out there.
Anytime I hear you on the radio or if I read anything, and when I saw you on Upfront, Katie Hannon,
yeah.
I honestly, and I've said this to you, I just flabbergasted how you've kept going. I just think you're absolutely incredible to be doing so much after going through so much. Yeah. On your hand, you've got the 4 boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Names. In your hand, yeah. You've got Ross first, so he passed away epilepsy 2016. And then Leon was 2021.
Yeah.
And then the 2.
The 8 and the 24th, 14 days between 2 sons.
And you had to get them together.
I got them together, yeah. I love them. And I'm going to get one more on the back of my neck. I'm going to get 4 sons. You know, I love them. I have 13 tattoos. I think the older I'm getting, the worse I'm getting. Madness.
Which, look, with a body art.
Yeah.
And you can carry it off.
Yeah, yeah.
You can carry it off. They're beautiful and the font is absolutely.
I love them, you know, I love lovely. Them. I just keep looking at them, you know.
Yeah. And to keep you going looking at them.
Yeah. And I have the boys on my phone and I just put it on the bed at night time and I wake up and I keep looking at them, you know. But as I said, I'm doing it like for my poor grandchildren as well. They're without fathers, you know.
And has anyone come to you, we'll say, like parents or even a person in recovery themselves going, Christine, I heard you on the radio.
And
what's that been like for you?
Oh, it's, do you know, I'm delighted that I'm helping somebody else, you know. This poor girl said to me last week, oh, you're the girl in the radio. Oh, my God, how are you doing it? I said, you know, I'm doing it now to save some other family from this pain. And as I said, that's all I want is a centre to be opened, an injection centre, to save our loved ones, like mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just like, if I could save, like, if the centres opened, Leon may have been saved and Dylan. They could be still alive today. But now I know they're gone. The 4 boys are together in 2 different graves. So I've 2 United in 1 grave and I've Liverpool and United in the other one. So I say Damien and Dylan are probably killing each other in the matches, you know. And my brother-in-law's right behind them. So, you know, I'm so happy when I got him toes to toes because I went out with my son and I said to the guys, I said, I'm burying 2 sons before the weekend. Please don't put them off to this new field because no disrespect, but it's been like 2 different families.
Mm.
So I said, look, my brother-in-law's John. He said, I know, we measured it. They can go there. So they're toes to toes.
That means a lot to you.
Yeah. And the generosity of people, you know, who paid for, like, God help us, poor Damien, to come home. And they really, what they paid for, like, we were able to pay off their fuel runs. The only thing now I have to do is start getting their headstone. So I'm going to get the same headstone when we can as the boys. The very exact same.
And then you were saying earlier to me as well, what you've gone through, four families have gone through.
Yeah. I feel, being honest, it's not the addict, it's suffer. Mm-hmm. It's the whole family. I could see my family falling apart. Like Paulina, she was only 11 when Ross passed away. She's 19 now. She's after burying four brothers. You know, our whole family, like when they used to come in, like we used to be arguing with them, of course, you know. And then God love us, and when they pass away, I felt guilty because I had to go into courts. But I had to do it. I had to protect my other children, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know we done everything for them. Everything, you know. We reared them very, very hard. They were so good. I reared them in Achnahini for years and years. Then we moved down to Grown. They didn't get everything because we hadn't everything to give them. But what they had, they were happy enough with, you know. They always played, looked at each other, played around with each other as children, you know.
The loving household, yeah, with loving, yeah, parents,
yeah,
and a loving family.
Yeah, and I'd say, look, I'd boil a pot or whatever, turnip, cabbage, bodice, ham, and they'd eat it. They wouldn't say, I'm not eating that, you know, and they'd go to bed, 8, 9 o'clock. My friend Claire was a witness to that. They'd go into bed and it was so, so good. I don't know what happened to them. It's just a sickness.
Yeah. And then before I finish up, after this day again, you're going to work. You're still working.
I work for Newlands Cleaning.
Yeah.
I'm out in the same job nearly 22 years. And I went back, the boys, 3 days I had when the boys passed away, and I went back to work. And if my friends and work, oh my God, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like Sonia, Sandra, and Catherine was working with me. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic to me, really and truly. Everyone look after me. And, you know, Bernard, I have to thank everybody who thinks of me, you know, and they all say, how are you today? And I just says, I'm good. I can never say, I'm brilliant, because I'm not, you know.
And the work keeps you occupied then, yeah, as well, for your head.
Yeah, and my family, and I have a sister now, Elizabeth. She's very good. She always ring me, how are you today? And I said, it's been very bad now today. But I get up every morning, do my house, I do our dinners, I go walking, I go to town. As I said, the boy says, why don't you stay out of town? You have another addiction. Mm-hmm. I said, mm-hmm, I can't. And if I keep on saying, why don't you stop taking drugs? No, I know.
Yeah.
No, I know.
And then one thing I want to mention before we finish up, when you, I was meeting you today, obviously we'd spoken on the phone several times before.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
But when you walked in with Bernard, and the Bernard you're mentioning is Bernard O'Hare, he's an amazing, amazing,
amazing
guy. You walked in together, and the one thing I said to you was, and no one speaking to you, you're a lovely, lovely lady, but there was no forlorn kind of look of you. You weren't in terms, yeah, of the head down. You came in, you gave me a big hug, and you look fantastic. Yeah. You were smiling, and again, I'm just in awe of your strength. I really, really am. And Christine, I know you say if you only help one person, there's hundreds, if not thousands, you're going to help. There really,
thank
really
you.
Is. You're an absolutely amazing lady, and I'm so delighted you made the effort to come meet me today, because you're going to help so many people.
Thank you, Brenda. And Brenda, I'm so delighted that you contacted me. You did. When Leon passed away, I remember on the phone, I was actually on Neil a half, mm-hmm, an hour later. And I was so delighted that you contacted me to come in here, because as I said, I'm only one voice, but I hope my voice will get louder. And like, sorry. I know we're getting somewhere now. We are, like.
You are.
So thank you very much, Brenda.
Thank you,
Christine. And as I said, you know, for my other children, yeah, they're delighted as well that I'm doing stuff, you know.
Yeah.
As I said, they're not all as strong as me. Parents out there. But if they want to contact me or anything, there's no problem. And I will meet up with them. I'm not very educated. And you don't have to be experienced to be educated. But I can speak with my mouth. I'm not on Facebook or anything, but my daughters are.
Yeah.
So thank you. And oh, Bernard, I have to thank Bernard. He is fantastic. Fantastic.
And if anyone wants to contact you anyway, we'll put up Bernard's details and he can get in touch.
Brilliant.
And they can get in touch with me as well to get in touch with,
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. And I hope I'll meet you again.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
I hope so too. We will.
We will.
We certainly will.
We will keep
this
in our mind.
We
you
will.
Know.
Yeah, you're a lady, Christine.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.